We're back.
We're back.
You know what that sound means? You know what that generic song countdown means? We're back on Wednesday for 8-Bits. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm so good. It is a just a beautiful week here in Napa. The sun's shining, the weather's warming up. You can walk around outside with a t-shirt on again. It's a great time to be alive.
It's a beautiful thing. Oakland has been beautiful as well. I took a lovely stroll around the neighborhood for the first time in a long time, and it was nice to just be out and about, even if it was. I took a bus, Brandon, for the first
Ooh.
time since the quarantine started, and I was the only person on the bus. It was like a limo. I
That's
felt like a
nice.
very fancy lady. So it was a weird moment in a very, very strange time, but we're almost, I think we're coming up on our year anniversary of this show, Brandon.
Speaking of quarantine,
Yeah.
I believe we kicked off in May 2020. I want to say it was right around the time of the Microsoft Build conference, if I
This
remember
sounds
correctly.
right. Yeah. We're
And
gonna have to
so
do something big.
oh man. I know, and it all depends, like what will we be able to do in May? Can we
Yeah.
get together in a studio again? That'd be
Oh my
exciting.
God, we could sell merch at a live show. Can you imagine at the Microsoft Reactor live, 8-Bits? Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Let's all
Oh,
get vaccinated. Hope this happens.
that's the dream. And yeah, like more vaccines keep coming out, they keep getting approved. So who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe. That'd be amazing.
We'll
Just
see. A girl
life.
can dream. What have you been up to, Brandon? What's been going on in your world?
Oh gosh. So did something really cool this week. There's a Xamarin show or the Xamarin show here at Microsoft, and I got to come on as a guest for a couple episodes this week. We just recorded them yesterday, so they're obviously not out yet, but I can give you a sneak peek. Let me
Where
throw
would
this.
people go to watch these? On YouTube?
The Xamarin Show, yeah, they're all available on YouTube. But what we were talking about yesterday was some async command stuff, and
Ooh.
specifically, there's something called the Xamarin Community Toolkit, which
Okay.
is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's a community-owned and operated GitHub repo for the Xamarin community, and so it's all cool things that you probably have copy pasted code like this from Xamarin app to Xamarin app. It's also a lot of new cool toys that'll make your app look better and save you time. And I've been helping out a lot with that. So adding code, reviewing code, approving code, all that fun stuff. And one of the things I added was the async command. And so we did a couple episodes of the Xamarin Show yesterday. Not sure when they're going to air because we've got to get them in the pipeline, and Microsoft's got to edit them and make them look pretty. But if you want a sneak peek, you can check out aka.ms/async command sample, and you can see the sample app that I made for the show. And once the show is published, I'll also add the YouTube link to that GitHub repo as well. So been a really cool week so far.
Nice. Wow, exclusive. We're getting some behind the scenes of like
Yeah,
what's in the
sneak
content
peeks.
pipeline.
It's
Only available on 8-Bits. That's so
a deep cut
fun.
for all my Xamarin developers out there.
I'm super excited. Check it out. I don't do as much Xamarin, so I'm gonna do in sync instead of async. Just kidding. Just kidding, y'all. Let's see,
Classic.
what have I been doing this week? I on Mondays have been streaming with Bit Project, and we finished our final lecture, our third and final lecture last week. Last we spoke, we've been playing with the Microsoft Face API. I think I talked about this before, Brandon, that we were detecting beards and images.
Oh, that's right.
Like we had a photo of my boyfriend holding a pancake of a picture, a 3D printed pancake of his beard, and it was able to detect both of them. Fascinating stuff. But starting this week, the lectures are over. All of our Bit Project students are now working on their final projects. So myself and my pal Adrian, who works over at Courier, as well as former friend of the pod, guest Lorena, our clown turned engineer friend. We're all building live on stream, so you can see us struggle and, you know, bing things on Stack Overflow and ask you to help us debug. But we are from scratch, working with the, well, a couple things. We're going to use an Azure function to help trigger, which actually, this is going to be helpful. We're going to have to replicate this for ourselves, Brandon. We're going to automatically trigger a message that can be sent via email, via text, via whatever method you want, that will notify folks when we go live. So people can sign up through a sign up page. So we can have the 8-bits, you know, notification sign up page. People can choose how to get notified through Slack, through, you know, text message, through however they want. And then whenever we go live, whenever there's an action from the Twitch API that we're doing a live stream, they will get the notification. So we are building that from scratch, live on camera, every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Bit Project Twitch channel. And come check it out. I'm tweeting about it all the time. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to know when that's happening. Until the bot works, and then I won't have to. It's literally solving a problem in my life, because you know this, Brandon. Like, before we go live, we're always like, oh my gosh, we got to tweet. Like, how do we got to remind people.
I was just doing it right now.
Literally.
Somebody saw me look distracted, but I think, oh shoot, I didn't tweet.
And it's, I love it because, you know, when I think back to like, the early projects that I built, especially when I was first starting to program, they were always solving real world problems for myself. And this is a true thing that causes me so much anxiety and stress. And if you've ever streamed before, you know, like the dance and the circus of like, okay, I'm going to go live. I need to tweet. Oh no, I didn't post it on this place. So I'm really excited to just automate that and just not have to spend the first 5 minutes of my stream worrying about telling people that I'm streaming. Well, marketing. Since,
like, and there's so many channels, so many outlets. Like, you could be anywhere from Facebook Live to Twitch to YouTube, and
right.
where do I subscribe to find you? So
yes.
That sounds like a great tool, and it definitely solves a problem, and even for this show.
And I'm super excited to just play with a new API. The Twitch API is brand new to me. So incorporating that into the Azure function and throwing some Courier in there, we're going to have a lot of fun. So come and join us on Mondays. It's a fun time. We've got two DevRel and a clown engineer trying to get their first DevRel job building a project. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, very stereotypical kind of stream online.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. Is there anything before we bring our guest on? Anything else we should cover? I did get the new MacBook, and I'm very thrilled to report that I streamed last night. I streamed Animal Crossing the first time last night. And this thing, y'all, is silent like a Prius, like quiet. So nice. My fan wasn't going off. I know this is a Microsoft show, but I just got to share. New devices that help enable your work to go faster are an incredible thing.
I don't think it has a fan.
Yeah, right.
If it does, definitely correct me in the comments. But I'm pretty sure the new MacBook with an M1 processor, completely fanless. And so you never get the joys of that background white noise when you start coding or streaming.
Do you know what I picture in my head mentally when people say fanless? So you know how there's like propeller fans? I picture the like Dyson fan, like the circle one. I'm like, it's fanless. There's no fan.
No blades
at all. Oh man. Well, I will say I really, really love this device, but, and we were talking about this briefly before the stream, and I wish y'all could. It looks very clean back here, but something that I cannot wait for is for everything to just be USB-C or just one universe. Yes. I know this is never going to happen ever. It's wishful thinking, but I ended up streaming at 2 a.m. last night, mainly because I thought this will take a couple minutes to set up. Y'all, the different daisy chaining I am doing, I'm like waiting. I wish that everything was a universal standard plug, I say, as I have four different kinds of USB here.
I recently broke down and bought a USB-C hub because until just recently, you could buy a hub that connects your computer via USB-C, but it didn't have any USB-C ports on it.
Right.
So I'm sure there's a technological reason behind it, but yeah, just recently You can order one that has USB-C ports on it, which would be great. So all this streaming equipment that I normally plug in my laptop can plug into the hub. But it also has all the other ports you would expect, like Ethernet ports, SD card readers, USB-A. So it's just the works.
Wow.
And I can't wait for it to arrive.
You're going to have to link me to that later because I am drowning in... Tonight, my goal is cord management. Like, it's an eyesore and I want to clean it up, but oh my goodness. So many USB-C converting things going on in my life right now. But enough about USB-C. Should we bring on our guest, Brandon? Is it
Absolutely.
Time? Okay, I guess I'll do the intro because I'm trying to think where I first saw this human being on the interwebs. But this person has been a presence on the internet lately for me that has given me so much joy. I am not on TikTok. I don't understand it, but I really enjoy consuming it in other forms. Specifically, we've talked about Ratatouille the musical before. We've talked about Sea Shanty TikTok before, Brandon. But this person brings a lot of joy to my timeline because it is rare that I see technical content that makes me laugh. And I shouldn't say rare. I should say it's a joy when I see it and it pops up in my timeline. And I am really, really excited to talk to our guest today because I think this is a really interesting topic, right? Like what makes technical content stand out and be relevant and fun and interesting. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Joe Kirsten.
I had to adjust my white balance because you made me blush.
No, that's very sweet. Thank you. It's interesting because during this core, I feel like I have made online internet friends with many people I have not met in real life. And you and I bonded over memes very early in this quarantine.
90 Day Fiancé.
Yes.
Memes. So any fans out there, let us know in the comments.
Let us know.
Also, Chloe and I would just love to chat with you about it.
We would love to chat with you off cam about it. But Joe, tell the lovely humans at home a little bit about yourself, what you do. Give us your Marvel origin story.
Yeah, I'll give you an elevator pitch. You know what's so funny? I like get asked this all the time, and I've never had something prepared. I'm just always like a deer in the headlights. Give us, who are you? So let's stumble through it together. My name's Joe Carlston. I'm a developer advocate, and I'm a software engineer, and I work for a little database company called MongoDB. Developer advocacy. I make videos. I make tutorials, blog posts. I speak at conferences. I did chit-chat with lovely people like Brandon, Chloe here today, and all of y'all. What else do I do? I make videos. I don't know. I feel like we're just trying to make like programming fun and accessible and like make cool stuff that people care about or don't, or make them care about it. That's the goal, I guess.
Yeah. Like, how do you make some of these? I think that's the question as developer advocates are asking all the time is how do we make what can be considered kind of boring, mundane content. Like, how do we make that in context interesting? I know, Brandon, you do that a lot with Git Trends, trying to make it useful like interesting. Like, it's a very interesting profession that we are in to make entertaining content, a very deep, serious technical content.
No, I totally agree. And you said this in the intro too, like making funny videos, you're right. It's not rare. People are making some really great stuff out there, but like, it's just, I don't know. I feel like everyone's very towards like serious documentation, which is great. We need that. But like, also I feel like we just need a little bit of flavor in there too, a little bit, you know?
Right.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. And it really says something about being able to take a difficult technical concept, being able to break it down to kind of its bare minimum.
Yes.
And then teaching that as the concept and then also adding on to it and piling onto that and using that as your foundation.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I think of my job as a developer advocate is like, I'm really just a teacher.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And yeah, I try to teach in the way that I wish my teachers taught instead of
I say that like, all the time.
Yeah, totally agree. I had so many teachers in high school that, my favorite example is, do you remember learning about parabolas? And maybe not, because it's a very underwhelming
I've heard
topic.
This word, for sure.
Y equals x squared. It's a parabola. And every parabola has this thing called a focus. And again, something I was taught in high school, and it was just like, there's no context to it. It's just like, this is the focus. Yeah. And then you would have a test and it would say, find the focus. And you're just like, okay, learn it. Check. Moving on. Yeah. And it wasn't until my first job out of college, I did a lot of work with satellite technology communications. And I learned that every satellite dish, well, most satellite dishes are parabolic in shape. Mm-hmm. And they're parabolic in shape because that focus is the actual point where every, we'll say, RF energy, all the signal that comes into the dish gets reflected back and concentrated in that focus point. And it's literally, if you ever look at an antenna, even the ones on the side of your house, they have that arm sticking out with the little receiver on the end. That's because the dish collects all of that signal and then focuses it, so it all gets amplified together in that one point.
And like a magnifying glass light, kind of.
Yeah, like blew my mind learning about that as an adult, because I had, quote unquote, learned it in high school, but like the teachers didn't give any context. And so I feel like that's so important when you're teaching something. You have to be able to break it down, give that context, show these real world applications, and then we can start adding stuff onto that and making it more complicated. But
can I show you something, an example of this that makes me so excited?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm sharing my screen. If you're not following the analytical coding drag queen, there's two recently that so this makes me so happy to see people explain very, very complicated, complex topics in very fun and interesting ways. This one is all about using data structures, sets of arrays and queues and stacks, and showing it with makeup wipes, like literally wiping with a makeup wipe. And then this other one recently that's all about gender drop-down menus, about like, here's the top five worst implementations of, gender input forms and like why they're bad. So I think this is such an interesting way. And what, like, think about what you send your friends, right? Yeah. Like in a DM, where you're like, check this out. It's either something incredible, like, oh my gosh, this person discovered ice penguins in, you know, a pyramid somewhere, or it's like something really funny or interesting. And like, I think when we think about viral or like content that's interesting, we need to think a lot about the audience. And I gotta tell you, this is my audience. Like I'm the audience for this, I should say. I'm like, I'm all about making this interesting and fun.
I totally agree. Anna's content is amazing. I also second it. She's doing incredible.
Gotta get Anna on the show. We'll get Anna on the show.
I bet she would. I saw she just retweeted one of your tweets, so that should be good.
We're in.
That'd be an easy one. I actually use this example all the time for creating content. It's like, imagine you have a friend on Facebook who's a realtor and they're selling houses. And like every day they're just posting houses they have for sale up there, right? It's like, that's boring. I don't care. Like, I'm probably not going to like be engaging with that. But like, imagine this person starts writing content about like how they flipped the bathroom and that increased the value of their home by $10,000. Or maybe it's a little bit of education about why this neighborhood is doing well, or predictions about housing markets, or I don't know, whatever, right? Like, but the point is, like, instead of trying to sell me these houses, this person starts teaching me about their job and like how that's working for them. That's something I might start sharing with my grandma, like, you know, family, friends. Like, that's engaging. You know what I mean? Like, and the point of that is like, we should be teaching. Like, our jobs is to teach the community, not sell them on something, or, you know what I mean? That just like doesn't work. No one cares.
Absolutely.
I do want to say too, so I've been making a lot of TikTok videos, and the thing about TikTok is that it's
very good, by the way.
Thank you. Follow it.
We will drop a link in the show notes of this. Truly.
Give it a follow or whatever. Don't. I don't care.
What's your TikTok handle, Joe?
Yeah,
but TikTok is weird because it's opposite. Like, you with like Instagram and Twitter, like it's very creator driven. You like put it out there and it goes on someone's timeline. But TikTok, like if your content sucks, it doesn't promote it. Like it just dies. Like, so I can like push stuff that no one cares about, but it just doesn't get any views. Like, you have to actually, it's like totally retrained me on like how to like make stuff that people are actually engaging with. Cause you that's the whole point of the platform. It's backwards. It's like community driven as opposed to creator driven, which is what we're used to as people are like making this content for the community. I don't know. I think that's the future.
What's your favorite TikTok rabbit hole that you've gone down during this year?
So what am I in? Frog TikTok. I've been on like dog training TikTok.
Oh.
Oh God. I know it's so weird. You're like, why am I? Am I like, does TikTok know something?
I know Brandon's gone down sea shanty TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I haven't really gone down that. I know it's like been blown up, though.
Have to. It was so last week.
That's right. Yeah. Old news.
I was very into Ratatouille, the musical TikTok. I think that's what like clicked for me of like, oh, so it's like open sourcing art and I enjoy this. Like, I was like, maybe I will download this application.
I'm so amazed I got made. And that is so fun. That's what the musical got made.
Yeah.
You even got a shout out in the comments. Joe's one of the best tech creators. Thanks, Pratik.
I agree.
I'm blushing. You guys are so sweet. This is so fun. Can you tell my boss?
We'll have a recording of this video. We'll cue it up. It'll be great.
Okay, good. I'll send this to my boss.
Well, and we were talking about this before the stream, but there's really something to be said for things that are memory hooks for, I used to give a whole talk on this, on why it's important, especially when you're teaching children. I used to work in children's theater, community theater. And if you've never gone to a children's community theater show or attended one, let's just say I had to have a lot of Red Bull before to match the energy of four-year-olds at 10 in the morning. So when I think about that, when you watch something like Sesame Street, you know, Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, there's all these bright colors and lots of songs and kind of memory hook things to get you to remember things. And something that I think a lot about as a developer advocate, we're all adults now. And I think we sit 5 minutes in a meeting and we want to look at our phone, right? Adult-ish. So how do we like engage with an audience? And it's kind of amazing how very subtle changes, even in a presentation or content, it can be a tweet, it can be a video, just making it relatable and human and not like marketing jargon synergy, like buy our hashtag product. There's really something to be said for authenticity. And I think that's really what drew me to you, Joe, and looking at a lot of your content was it made me laugh because it was real. And the same way that the TV show Silicon Valley is hilarious because and cringy because it's too real. I think some of the content that I gravitate towards, be it technical or soft skills stuff, is always the genuine, relatable content.
I think that's the future. That's the future. I don't know. It's I don't know. Like trying to find it, just like traditional marketing doesn't work, right? Which is why we have jobs. Like we're developer advocates. I think we're good at talking to developer communities, but like I totally agree, like personality, like authenticity, vulnerability, and Chloe, I love that you're doing that with your Twitch stream too. Like I love doing that too. Like I want my audience to see the blood, sweat, and tears. I want them to see me cry.
Well, I did literally bleed on camera the
other day. Okay, literally blood, sweat, and tears.
Well, there's kind of a vulnerability to live coding. Like, this is a new thing for me that I think back to, you know, what Brandon and I used to do, giving talks and demos. You know, there's something to be said for, and Brandon's been doing this on the weekends with our friend PJ, like literally showing people your process. Like, here's how I do things. Here's how I look at Stack Overflow to like solve this problem, right? There's really something to be said for the realness of it. Like, because you walk through a tutorial and you think it's going to take 10 minutes and it's like, okay, right, I have to open these docs and then go here. And then I need this NPM package. And like, you know, 3 hours later, you're finishing the tutorial. And I think that I've learned so much. That's why I've started streaming live coding stuff, even though it's really scary, especially as a woman online. But I've learned so much from other people doing it. Like it makes me feel like less alone in like this process.
Well, and it's hard. It feels effortless for a lot of people, like Sue Hinton, like she crushes it, right? But like, you're like moderating a chat, you're trying to like verbalize what you're doing, and you're trying to solve like technical problems on the spot. Like
it's improv.
It's all improv. It's like multitasking improv. It's hard and it gets drawn out. The benefit though I've loved is like if I get stuck on a bug and someone in the stream is like, oh, I solved that last week, here's how you do it. Like,
it's amazing. Yeah.
That's kind of cool though too.
So I was literally streaming, so like Chloe said, I stream with my buddy PJ every Sunday on Twitch, and PJ's been on the show a couple times. He's learning to code, trying to get a job in tech, moving out of his current role in academia. But Yeah, we couldn't figure something out because we were PJ's building a website, and I make mobile apps, so like I know how to code, but I've never built a website before. And yeah, we were just stuck. And somebody in the chat was like, "Oh, I think I can fix this if you just bring me on." So yeah, we just sent him the link.
Whoa.
He incredible.
Came onto the stream and walked us through it, and then the website started working.
Oh my god. And
it was so
was
amazing.
It someone you knew or like a stranger or
it was somebody that PJ knew. Yeah. Wow. So we were comfortable bringing the mystery person on.
Right.
But even, yeah, in the comments, there's been a couple folks that have also solved issues too. And like, we probably would have been hitting our heads against the wall for hours trying to figure it out. And she's like, yep, here's the line of code you need. Like,
Brandon, that's a risky move bringing a stranger on a live stream, but I'm glad that worked out for you.
Our recent guest, Taylor, actually hopped on the live stream with PJ and I to help us with our Twitch setup stuff, being someone who worked at Twitch. So it's kind of cool. Okay. Like, you kind of get to crowdsource information. Like, that literally happened the other day when we were building Shania Bot. We're building this, you know, Azure Function Twitter bot, our Shania Twain bot, famously of that we've mentioned on the show before, but literally Sinclair, other previous guest of the show, Jeremy came, like, literally was in the comments saying, "Oh, try it this way," and Adrian was saying, "Oh, you know, do the regex this way," and helped us. We would have been stuck on this problem for probably an hour or two because we're not that familiar with regex. That's and I love that's like the one positive of having to stay home is like we're all able to kind of like co-work together more in this weird pandemic way.
Yeah, totally. No, that's so true. It's like I don't know. Were you guys remote before COVID hit or
kind of started? Yes. Yeah.
Technically we were remote. But it was one of those things like we traveled so much that we were rarely in the office.
Exactly. Right. I feel like a lot of people in a position, like, we're pretty much remote.
All of my toys on my desk right now, I like to imagine, have been living a Toy Story-like fantasy life at Microsoft HQ SF for the last year. I miss that desk every day.
Could gossip with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you guys noticed this? I feel like just water cooler gossip has just evaporated. I've been, like, so... like hungry for any sort of gossip. I don't know. It's like hard to like. It's like on Slack, just being like, "Oh, did you hear about blah blah blah?" Or like, "Did you know this happened?"
It definitely has changed company culture dynamic. Oh, like, yeah, I feel like you can much more control literally who you're in a room with because you're physically not in the room. So I think in an interesting way, yeah, I've just been able to surround myself. Honestly, with people that I would have already surrounded myself with, but now more people, because I think in a pre-COVID life, I'd be like, oh, proximity to me. But now there's a lot of cross, even like across different continents and stuff, being able to do work with other coworkers for Seasons of Serverless. We worked with Microsoft student ambassadors all over the world. And I don't know if I would have had the bandwidth / like thought to do that pre-COVID.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like that's, I don't know. This is just me, but like COVID, I've been like getting my social needs met by like meeting people online. And I don't think that's true of everybody, but it's been like really helpful for, I don't know, just like getting to know people or new people. Like Chloe, like you and I have like gotten to know each other online, right? It's like, I don't know if that would happen without COVID.
So I have to, Brandon will tell you, like, if we were to go to a meetup or a conference or something, I can be on there, but I have to recharge afterwards. And what I actually appreciate having, like, to work from home and having remote events is when I turn off that camera, I can turn into the trash goblin I truly am. I don't have to take Muni or Bart home or take an Uber home and, like, finally shed my lizard skin. I really can kind of limit, you know, because there's also, you know, going to live events, like, people lining up after your talk and the emotional energy that it takes. And as an ambivert, which is an introverted extrovert, I've never heard of it before, people on the show, I can turn it on. Like I love to communicate with people and I love to talk to people, but I need my clow time. Like if you ever saw me at a conference, I'm very alive in the room. And then I go into my hotel room and like, I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé with like, you know, some chicken fingers or something. But yeah, it's given me the personal space that I think I need is one positive. I love that.
Like clearer, safer boundaries for like, yeah, I'm the same way. And Brandon, I don't know if you're the same way too, but like, I feel like a lot of people in our roles are like that. Cause I think you have to have like the focus to like make code, which I think involves a little bit of introversion. And then you have to be like extrovert enough to like jump on a stream like this or chat or speak or whatever you're doing, you know? I feel like I definitely have both.
Yeah, and I agree. And Josh in the comments, or Joshua Hunt's World, saying just being able to hug friends is something I miss a lot. And I empathize with that a ton. Being able to, I got to see somebody in person for the first time who I haven't seen in almost a year the other week. And we just had to like stand and wave at each other. Like, ah, it's so good to see you, but don't come any closer. there is something about that, that hug or that handshake that does make it feel a little bit more personal. But yeah, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, that's hopefully we're all getting vaccinated. Hopefully we can get on the other side of this pandemic and
totally.
We can all kind of figure out and return to where we want to be. But yeah, I very much empathize with needing to recharge. There's something about being at a conference that is, I mean, not just physically exhausting because you're standing and walking and doing that all day, but also just mentally exhausting, having to have all these conversations, meet people. And don't get me wrong, I love it, but I could go for a walk and be standing all day without the mental overload. And it's very different. Like, yeah, Chloe, when I get back to the hotel, it's just collapse in bed, order up some room service, just kind of like curl up into a ball. Like, no, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It's two very different hats, two very different skills. I think, you know, as developers, it's just like you said, Joe, like sometimes we're behind the computer and it's a very solo activity, but there's really something to be said for, I don't know, our whole job is to be a developer advocate, to advocate for developers. So the advocating part is it's a different skill.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I'd be curious if anyone in the stream is watching, let us know, like, are you guys excited to come back to in-person events? Has it like changed the way you're learning this year too?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, probably like we're all more solo, but, yeah, I don't know. I feel like for me, that's definitely changed a lot.
I feel like I miss expo halls. I miss like walking to different booths, talking to different companies and like learning about different products, like after you've given the talk and communicating. Like I remember at Ignite the Tour, we had a community section where we were featuring different startups that were local to the area. So in this case, I think it was in Milan, we had a bunch of local startups that were there to share what they were doing and having an impact in the community. And I miss having those genuine face-to-face conversations. Like I feel like because we're a little bit more limited online, you're not going to have that conversation as you're leaving the venue where someone said, oh, you know, I also started learning that way, or like, hey, I really enjoyed your talk. Like, let me tell you about this. So I think there's a lot, I've heard a lot of people say, I miss the hallway talks, like, or not hallway talks, but sort of the hallway connection.
Track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of talks, Joe, I know you have actually a TED talk coming up.
Tell
us about that.
Yeah, what's the talk and what are you doing to prepare for that?
I gave a keynote at the hackathon this year. It's called Art of Computer Science. It's basically like just finding your community. I think I gotta find a better name for it. But I don't know. Someone's organizing a TED talk and asked me if I would give it. I haven't written a speech before. I feel like TED Talks are very like
Elle Woods at the end of Legally Blonde.
Yes, exactly.
You must always believe in yourself.
Yeah. I feel like I need help like making a less chaotic version of the talk for TED, which we'll have to figure out how that works. It's this summer. So I'm like, I have hopefully, it feels like a million miles away, but it's like, I think it's going to be coming out in June. Also, I don't know how it's going to really work with like, online. Am I just going to record it? Am I living room? I don't know.
Well, have you seen this Snap chat camera filter? Maybe to get it working on the stream. I've been using that to emphasize points on streams where I'm like, and in conclusion, thank you so much. And it zooms out. If you haven't used this filter yet, incredible. You can practice with that. It's a good dress rehearsal for you.
That'd be so funny. Actually giving a whole TED talk in that. Is that filter on?
Think about it.
I'll ask to see if that's allowed.
What is the topic of your talk?
Oh, yeah. It's just talking about my career a little bit. So I should give some background a little bit. I'm like really interested in art and tech, and I particularly love I ran a hackathon in Hawaii called the Stupid Shit and Terrible Ideas Hackathon. We just like make dumb, fun things. The whole idea is like an anti-corporate hackathon and like trying to make the whole idea is making dumb things just for fun with your friends. Like we made someone made a 6-foot cubed fidget cube. Someone had made an app that texts your mom every website you go to in incognito mode.
I love this. Reminds me of SF Sketchfest. They didn't do this after I saw it, but they did a comedy hackathon where they partnered engineers with comedians.
Yes.
And they had all these one of my favorites was a pay gap equity app where based on, if you were a woman, black, you were able to determine how to split the bill based on who was paid the most fairly among the people there.
Sure.
I love who make these things Danielle Baskin, of course, on Twitter, who's doing such hilarious, kind of funny, verified homes on Twitter. And I love using tech in these silly ways.
I think so too. So my the TED Talk to me about art and tech and finding community and how I fell in love with it through art. But I totally agree. I think that computers and programming and tech and the internet is the artistic medium of our generation. And I think everyone here and people watching the stream at home are uniquely positioned to be able to explore that medium. It's the defining the internet is a defining characteristic of our generation. And let's explore that artistically. I think there's a lot of place there, and I feel like our industry really pushes people to want to, you got to monetize every side hustle, and you got to wake up at 3 a.m. to make your stupid business that's going to, get funded, or who cares, right? Just make stuff because you like it or don't. Who cares, right? Just I make stuff to learn. I make fun stuff to teach. I make fun stuff just because I like it.
I think jQuery is probably in the chat right now. I saw them earlier, but we had a conversation about the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race that happened during the pandemic. We wouldn't have had the creative, beautiful artistry that was Crystal Method's I'm Like a Bird remote performance. There's so much that we're seeing now with being able to use online, drag, for example, light up costumes, seeing a lot of tech fashion being added to wearables, makes me so masks too, masks with tech in them makes me so excited for this generation is going to make such cool stuff.
Oh, I know. Or IoT stuff being integrated. I don't even know what you could do with that yet. I don't know. I'm definitely not I'm not a big fashion. I don't know a lot about it, but they're just the potential there is exciting. And I feel that starts with people just messing around with it and figuring out what works or doesn't work. I'm obsessed with this line between stupid and genius. I feel it feels dumb and you make it. And sometimes so we were talking earlier about my IoT kitty litter box. I made.
Yes.
That was that thing. It was I wanted to make a fun, silly little project. And it turns out it was actually kind of useful. I didn't really know until it was done. It was going to be I may have just been a dumb thing. Just throw away or whatever, just that kind of dies, but it's actually kind of useful. But I feel that's where this stuff comes from, or putting things chips and things that have no right to have a chip in them. I let's do more of that. So maybe you might find something and maybe not, but who cares?
I love, shout out to Sailor HG on Twitter and Instagram and all the things. I've really been enjoying, she recently melted down her clipper card and put the clipper card in a resin ring so she could just tap in with her ring.
What's a clipper card?
Oh, it's the Metro card here in the Bay Area.
Gotcha. And I'm in the Midwest. I've no idea.
Right. And anytime I see a pair of AirPods now, I think of Sailor HD because I always thought they looked so silly, but she added the tassel earrings from Breakfast at Tiffany's to make them look more fashionable. So that intersection, that's what makes me so excited when I see people crafting with tech. I wish I knew the person's name, but I saw someone with a manicure where she had a video screen on each fingernail. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I'll see if I can find that. But any sort of blend of arts and tech. What are some of your favorite projects that you've seen that have incorporated those things, Joe?
I don't even know. I just public art pieces. I've been exploring LEDs in my free time a lot. You can't see it back there. I have a LED thing I made back there. I don't know. It's public things or like pieces that change for the weather, and you can like see things in real life. I'm even trying to think. I don't know. I meant to think of that. I should put something together of like my favorite projects. I feel like that'd be a great idea. The thing that gets me excited though is just getting excited about just making stuff.
Gwythian here in the comments saying that authors often talk about how they write books for themselves, and it turns out that a lot of people like it. And
yes.
Makes the analogy to coding and building things, and I agree with that so much. That's literally both apps I have in the App Store, where they're just fun side projects that I work on at nights and weekends with Ian, were both apps that I made because I wanted them, and it was like, maybe somebody else will want them too, and now they have a couple thousand monthly active users, and it's so cool to think like there's people on the other side of the world using my apps.
It's sharing your art with the world, literally. It was literally just like a
selfish project. I was like, I wish this existed.
Yes.
I want it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it.
Well, and I think, people are always saying like, what drew you to tech? And I'm like, honestly, tech is digital crafting to me. Like putting all these different pieces together. Because, there's all these different components and APIs and things you can put together, and it's deeply, deeply technical, but you can make some really weird, funny, interesting, artsy stuff.
I totally agree. I feel like a box of Legos.
Yeah.
I want to add one other thing to the comment that was just up, but we make things for ourselves too, but also I personally can't predict what's going to be useful or not to other people. It's just like, and some things blow up, but some things don't. And like, that's okay. But I feel like for me, I've really had to like divorce like the need to try to like make everything a hit. I just like the only thing that's important for me is just to like produce, like just make things and then things either take off or they don't.
So true. And something I found is you just can't predict what's going to be a hit. Like you can.
Yeah.
Like there's been projects I've worked on where I'm like, people are going to love this. This is
a hit. Yeah. We've got a $1 billion business here.
Biggest.
Boom. Yeah.
Like I'm going to get thousands of people reading this blog post. It's going to be the biggest one all time. And then it's like a total dud.
Nothing.
And then I'll do something that takes like 5 minutes, just kind of like on a whim, throw it out there. And then thousands of downloads or views. You're just like, what? So
totally.
Just like you're saying, Joe, it's more about just like keep creating, putting stuff out into the universe, and it will, like, something will eventually strike a chord with people.
I think so too. It'll keep talking about it, promoting it. I don't know. One of my top GitHub repos all the time is I was teaching myself Angular in probably 2013, 2014. And I made like an Angular Instagram feed. I was just learning how to code. I was just learning Angular. It's terrible code. It's crushing. I have no idea why it's still popular to this day. I don't have the heart to like take it down either, but I don't know. You just throw it up and sometimes it clicks. It gets those Google SEO wins correctly and people just sort of just find it or whatever. I don't know.
We always end up talking on this show about theme parks. This is a theme on the show. Final 15, we always get to it. But I think that like if someone had come up to me as a kid, because if people don't know, I discovered computer science a lot later in life. But if someone had told me, hey, that stuff you're doing on LiveJournal and MySpace and Neopets and that Imagineering stuff at Disney that you're really interested in, that's all computer science stuff. I think I would have been a little bit more willing to learn it even as a kid. And I think about that mentality with adult developers as well. Like, why should people care about using an Azure function? Well, I can, you know, demo it in a bunch of different ways that are practical, or I can make a fake boyfriend app that uses the Twilio API to text and pretend to be my boyfriend in awkward situations. So it's a lot about how to frame, because we work in very deep technical things, but when you can make it relatable and interesting to people. I work with students on the academic team, so I'm always thinking about, like, okay, hello, fellow kids. How do we get you interested in learning how to use our products? But I think it comes down to what is, like, all of the stuff that I see being shared on TikTok and Instagram and even Twitter, the stuff that I see that's the most engaging is the authentic, funny, like, heartwarming stuff. So the more that I can put that into my technical content, the better. There's really cool people. We had a student with BitProject recently who created an IoT device using Azure that he could give to his grandpa to measure his heart rate. So if it spiked or decreased, it would send an alert to him. And I think about practical ways that this technology can be put into place. And it makes me so excited, not only for, like, the quirky fun stuff, but I'm like, oh, right, there's very practical, useful That's ways that this point. Can be used as well.
Yeah. Oh, you can make useful things with computers too.
Yeah. You don't have to make Mario Kart astrology. I guess you can, like, identify people, like, from space.
Exactly. You could save lives or make something useful. You can, yeah, you're right. You could also do this. That's also fine. Yeah, you're right, though. Like, making it visible, I think it's great.
And Joshua was just commenting, we were talking about sometimes things take off and sometimes they don't. And so his girlfriend has 500,000 followers on TikTok, and she'll put hours into a video, only get 1,000 views, and then throw something up there that takes 30 seconds and thousands of plays. So
blows up.
Can I share a secret, though? If I ever tweet about Clippy, minimum 100 likes. So there's, like, certain, but I find, but that's, like, why I bring it up, is nostalgia specifically. Anytime I tweet about anything or share anything, even on my YouTube channel that involves a Furby, it's one of my highest performing videos. Like, I think there's something to be said for these memory hooks, like nostalgia. Music helps a lot, I think, too. And I think about different things that have helped, like, trigger things in my brain to remember them. So I take a very children's theater approach to development.
So Joshua, tell your girlfriend she needs to make a Clippy video on TikTok,
yes,
with maybe some NSYNC in the background.
Yeah, and
check
a Furby.
All the nostalgia boxes.
Yeah. And play the music from a hit clip. Those little, like, MP3 things that you put in the boombox with really low res. Just hit all the boxes.
So
we're just giving this viral content away for free for everyone. Yeah,
you're welcome, everybody.
You're welcome. So, Joe, we always ask everyone on the show about their favorite theme park and favorite theme park ride. Do you have an answer to this question?
Okay. Yeah. Great. So I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yes, it's cold here. And no, we don't all talk like we're from the movie Fargo. But I live next to the Mall of America.
Never been.
Has a Nickelodeon Studios theme park in it right now, Chloe.
What?
It's like a small mini version inside of a mall, but it still exists.
It's all indoors, right?
It's all indoors. Also, fun fact about the Mall America, there's no heating in it. It's all human heated. And, like, human powers just, like, walking around. Isn't that weird? Anyways, probably favorite theme park. Okay. I don't even know.
We got to add to the road trip list, Brandon. Yeah. We're going to this Mall of America Nickelodeon theme park.
Yeah, if you're
on our way to Orlando, we'll swing through Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Good idea. There is a Bikini Bottom plunge ride on it. It's like a, you know, like an episode of SpongeBob where you, like, go straight down on the bus into Rock Bottom.
Wow. I love
that. That one's so fun.
jQuery's in the chat whose answer was Dollywood, which I cannot wait to go to.
Oh! That was too funny. I'm so excited to go.
I've never been to Dollywood, and I'm so excited.
I haven't either. My friends and I have been planning a road trip to Dollywood for years.
First stop, as soon as everyone gets the vaccine, we're going to Dollywood.
Exactly. That's like we're tentatively planning, like, 2 summers from now doing a Dollywood trip.
Yeah, we'll pick you up all the way.
Okay, good. Go to Dollywood. Oh, That's such a good one. Okay, thanks, J. Crew. Yeah. I want to go so bad. None of y'all have been to Dollywood, have you?
No, but no. I hear that the live shows in itself are incredible. My dear friend Amy, who I do the show Coinbase with, was telling me she's been. She's experienced. It's beautiful. She's got all her costumes there and everything. But she said that this Dolly Parton Christmas, if anybody watched this Christmas special thing, Christmas in the Square with Christine Baranski and everyone, is basically a movie version of these live show parables that happen at Dollywood, and I'm just counting down the days till I can go, y'all.
That's so fun. Oh my god, I still can't believe it's real. It like feels like it shouldn't be a real place, but it is, and I need to go so bad.
Have you been to any like Disneyland or any of the Universals?
I get confused. World is in Florida. I've been to that one. Never been to the Universal. I do want to go as like adult. I want to go, like, I'd love to go to like the Star Wars one. I think that's a Disney.
I've been to that one in California. It's pretty great.
Oh, I want to go so bad. And I just watched a YouTube video of some guys at the Harry Potter one at Universal, and they like hacked the wands, and they're trying to figure out how that wand technology works. They have to pay $50 for it's like I don't even know what it is. But
Brandon, have we talked on the show about the hack I heard about for the Star Wars ride? Have we talked about this? So obviously it has not happened in the last year or so because Disneyland's been closed. But there is a Star Wars ride, I've been on it, where you are in a TIE fighter thing, like basically based on where you sit on this ship. I'm going to get destroyed in the comments here. You're either the driver or the shooter, or like you have different jobs like you're tasked with. And usually when you ride the ride, it's like, okay, go this way, move to the left. And based on your performance as a group in the ride, so you better hope you get matched with like some smart people if you're, you know, not there with a large family. Yeah. The response for the ride and the response for like the people will interact with you through your phone, through the app, like, oh, wow, good job today, Jedi, based on your performance in the game. But there's a secret thing that if you like do a certain sequence of levers and pulleys and things like that, that instead of it being like, to the left, Luke, blah, 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 it'll just be Chewbacca yelling out in peril the whole time going, with nothing else. I will post a link to the video after this, but it's just a panicked Chewbacca, so scared. And usually, like, it only happens if like people do a specific sequence, but that's going to be second thing I do after Hollywood.
That is such a funny Easter egg to just slip into it.
And I'm sure there's so many more that we've missed out on from the last year.
That's literally right. That's the one we know of.
Just R2-D2 being like, burr, 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 like through the whole thing.
I just love, like, the caption's just like, slow down. You're crazy.
That is so funny. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Have you seen the videos for Super Nintendo World yet, y'all? Because
Yes. Yeah, I can't believe that's real either. It looks incredible. Like, just like walking in, it looks like you're in a video game. I don't know how they did it.
I love what they did with it because it's not just your typical amusement park world. It's all interactive. So it's like you're literally in a Mario video game where you can jump and hit boxes and get coins. There's like puzzles and stuff that you can try and accomplish along the way. I'm pretty sure they have like a leaderboard and high scores. They just went all out with it because when I first saw it, like just like a still image of it, I was like, oh, that looks kind of small. I don't really know what you'd put there. Like, is it really a Mario ride?
Can I throw a shell at someone's head? Then I'm not interested.
But no, it's a whole world. It's like, have you ever wanted to be in a video game? Here you go.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah, and you're right. I think they're doing some cool stuff with like phone tech too.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see, like, growing up, I was just so in awe of animatronics. And now that this stuff is interactive, even just the 2D or 3D projection in the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway blows my mind. I'm just so excited to see the future of theme parks with VR. I've done some VR stuff that's been really cool. I think we're going to have some really, like, imagine like 20 years from now, we're going to be able to skip through Oz, you know, like as a theme park. I can't wait for that. I'm just waiting for interactive VR experiences of virtual worlds to be a part of. Ready for the simulation, basically.
We can build that.
I'm ready.
You could build that. That's you. That could be you.
Let's build the next Club Penguin.
We were just talking about building the things we want, right?
That's true.
Make it happen, Chloe.
Okay. Well, yeah, great.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Didn't Gatsby Stay just tuned. Become a public entity? So we could do like a Gatsby. No, they already did this. No, Seth, never mind. Oh, well. Wait, but we never got an answer. What are your faves? What are your faves, Joe?
Favorite rides?
Yeah.
I think, I don't even know. I'm such a coward. I'm like,
So you're not a roller coaster person. You're more like Peter Pan ride.
Yeah, like a log chute. I do like an old. I want like a crusty old log chute to go on. Something with a photo. I don't want to buy the photo, but I want to see the photo of me and then just look at it.
You want to take a picture with the watermark on it with your phone.
Exactly. Which I think they probably would not allow that, but I'm going to try to do it anyways.
Just got to be quick.
You got to be quick. Free. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably just do like, I do something. I don't like water park. Am I a water park guy? Probably not. We were just watching we were discussing Class Action Park, the documentary on HBO about one of the most deadly theme parks.
I scraped my knee the day after I watched the first half. So I think that was like, I just was seeing so much concrete and water. If you've not seen this, y'all,
it's great.
It's all about this theme park that no longer exists, that it's a miracle that it ever did exist. But yeah, I'm not about a dangerous rides. That spooks me.
Class Action Park is my fear for even very safe parks.
Yeah.
Also, I do want to say the scariest thing too, or like just like County Festival, you know, like those like mobile rides that just spin you around and make you want to vomit. Oh.
You know, our coworker April just tweeted about this yesterday. There was a tweet going around that said, "Can you believe that our parents
let us go on this?" Yeah, like our parents didn't care about us or something like that. Yeah,
if I can find it.
Yeah,
but it's so true. I think about going to the state fair as a kid and all these rides that literally would show up as a truck and like trusting my life with them. I'm like, some life choices.
It doesn't feel right, but whatever. Those scare me.
I remember being at one of those. It was just like in the parking lot down the street kind of pop-up fair. And there was one ride operator that just, I don't know what they were doing, but wasn't paying attention and was supposed to stop the ride after it went around a couple times and just forgot. And
fell asleep.
Like,
I'm sharing an image.
It's fine, but there's people getting off and just throwing up everywhere. I'm like, what happened? It's like, oh yeah, the ride op forgot to stop the ride. Like,
that's scary. That's what? Possible.
Like, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, there's not like a automatic timer if it's been running for a couple minutes.
Yeah, this ride's been on for 4 hours straight. You may want to cool it down.
It's like, nah, I need a smoke break. I'll be back.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
I have an image up on the screen, Brandon, of I spent many an hour in this ride just getting stuck against the wall. If you're not familiar with this ride, it just spins really, really fast and plays really, really loud top 40 hits while you turn upside down. And I luckily was never on one of these when someone barfed, but I can only imagine.
Grab a train. This is the one. So I was a kid. I was probably sixth grade. I bought a bunch of tickets. I went on this three times in a row with my friends. I just remember like stumbling out, passing out in the grass, and like, vomiting. And then waking up in my own vomit. I can't believe I did that.
Remember when we could go to theme parks? Those are the days, weren't they?
Oh, my God. That's right. You remember being around people? I don't.
Right? Yeah. Even when you said Mall of America, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, whoa. Being in a mall right now?
Heated by human air, you say. Yeah.
Just people exhaling just to heat the whole building. That can't be good.
Joe, where can people find you on the interwebs? Where should they follow you and like find all your cool, awesome stuff that you're making?
Yeah. So I'll put some links here on the actually, I don't think I have access. I'll just have you all post those for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm big into JavaScript, Node, front and back end development. Obviously, I work for MongoDB. I talk a lot about databases. If that's your thing, cool. I also post a lot of like goofy videos. So if you like just funny stuff about programming, you should totally hit me up. My Twitter is right here, right below me. Otherwise, you should hit me up on TikTok too. I'm going to plug one more thing with MongoDB. I've been writing for the MongoDB Dev Hub, which we just launched. So if you go to developer.mongodb.com, it's a great place to like, learn, get resources. That's what I'm doing on my blogging right now. And I'll be also producing some YouTube videos shortly, fingers crossed, for MongoDB. So keep an eye out there, too.
You work so much work, as they say on 90 Day Fiancé.
It doesn't end.
Doing all kinds of things. And I just want to say, Joe, thank you for making really great, interesting, relevant, fun, engaging, entertaining developer content.
It's no, thank you.
Welcome and fresh in my timeline. And every time I see a TikTok, I get excited.
Me too.
And I'm not even on TikTok. That says something, right?
Maybe someday we'll get you. I just want to say, too, thank you so much, Brandon and Chloe, for having me on. You guys are amazing. I love the show. I love everything you're doing. Love Microsoft.
We love you. We can't wait to give you a big hug in Dollywood, Joe.
Yeah, good.
We'll see you in Dollywood 2035. We're so excited.
Yeah, it may take that long. I love that.
All right. Well, maybe next week we'll have a new countdown song intro and outro. That's all on me and my Canva and music capabilities. But until next time, how should we close this final one without a song out, Brandon?
We sing. La
la play, la la la. Play them out, you.
Do a TikTok.
That's
quickly.
The end of the show. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, jazz hands. We will see you next week, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in.